Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And my scripture memory verse is Proverbs 7:2. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Because Nick took mine, Proverbs 6:6. Appreciate that. If you're wondering why I'm doing this, it's because my dad talked me into it. He couldn't get our other assistant pastor, Leah, to preach. So he decided, I'm just kidding, Leah, I love you. Anyway, Mark chapter 2, verse 1. We'll start there. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, And I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with the publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So, I don't know why, but I was going to, my dad's been asking me to do this probably. I better keep my glasses on. I can't see. I'm getting old. It's terrible. But my dad asked me to do this probably, I don't know, when was it? Two or three weeks ago? A month ago? I don't know. You know, he tricks me by taking me out to eat Mexican food. And then, hey, you want to preach for me? And then, so I was trying to figure out what to talk about, you know, because I would never get up here and act like I was the number one Christian in the church, all that mess. I'm not that type of person. I'm just kind of common sense guy. I tell you like it is, and that's how I am. I like to keep it that way. I mean, I work every day with Michael Brown. I mean, come on. That's hard news. He keeps me straight. But I just kept thinking about this passage of Scripture. I heard it in college. Like, I've heard 1,000 messages in college down at PCC. And the title of the message was... He ate with who? And they were talking about just the whole thing of God came for the sinner. And the Pharisees had a problem with that. So I couldn't get out of my head. So I just started putting something together. And as far as, a way of introduction, I'm sure many of you in here know about the Pharisees if you've heard any message preached about them. But they were kind of the religious leaders of their day. And I'd like to kind of compare them to independent Baptists in this sense that they always knew the right thing to do. They always wore the right clothes. They always were there when they needed to be. If you were going to model yourself after somebody in the Bible, the Pharisees are not bad people to model yourself after, as far as the fact that they were always on time. They always obeyed the law. They always did what was right. They always showed up to church when they're supposed to show up to church. You know, if they were supposed to tithe 10%, they gave it. They were supposed to work on a work day on Saturday. They was there putting screws in on the roof. You know, they was filling potholes in like Brother Sidney did this past weekend on our road back there. They did it. You know, if they were putting padlocks on like Brother Frank did, they did it. You know, they were always a model citizen. But the problem was they had a heart problem. They had a heart problem. I can't keep these glasses. My bad, guys. They had a heart problem. And I just got 3 points about the Pharisees, and I'll go really quick. I promise you, we'll be out of here in like 10 minutes. The first point is Pharisees always have a problem with everyone else. They always have a problem with everyone else. Okay? They got 10 problems with 10 different people, and they think the 10 different people is their fault. The common denominator is you, me especially. I'm this way. If somebody don't talk to me and don't like me, I'm like, hey, forget them. That's how I am. I shouldn't be that way, but that's how I am. But Pharisees have a problem with everyone else. In verse number seven, they immediately start questioning Jesus. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So basically what they were saying was, who do you think you are telling us what to do? Who do you think you are saying you're the Son of God? And it's a little, you know, when you compare it to our lives, I know I do it all the time. I do it all the time at work. I do it all, not with Michael, I don't mean that. I do it all the time with just anybody. You know, if my sister was to text me and say, Matthew, you've been late at church, you need to get there on time. Like, what you talking about? Leave me alone. Who are you? You know, I do that to a lot of people. I don't like people to tell me what to do. I don't like people to tell me the truth, even though I do have friends that do that. I don't like people to tell me the straight up truth because I can't handle it. And that's a point of the Pharisees. They can't handle the truth. Okay. That leads me to the second point, that they're always jealous of others. They're always jealous of others. In Mark verses, chapter 2, verse 13, and he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto them, and he taught them. And you got to realize the Pharisees were the teachers of the day. They were the smart people of the day. They were the guys who studied the Bibles and studied, and they were in the temples all the time. And then Jesus shows up and says, guess what? I'm the man. That's basically what he did. He steps on the scene. He knows what to say. He knows what's right. He knows they're wrong. He can see their hearts, and nobody else can. And they couldn't handle it. So after he heals this kid sick of the palsy, they have a problem. So then they start talking to people. I skipped over this point, but I'm going to go back to it. In the early parts of the verse, it says that there were certain scribes there when he told the man that was sick of the palsy, you know, thy sins be forgiven thee. There were scribes there. And the reason that's important is because later on in verse number 16, it says, and when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat. So the scribes who had a problem with Jesus, they're saying, you know what? We don't like this guy. We got a problem with him. So you know what they did? They went and found other people that had a problem with Jesus. They went and found other complainers. They went and found other whiners, other babies that couldn't get their way, that are jealous and they can't. And so, you know, we have revival coming up. We're never going to do anything until we realize we need to change. It ain't Nick, Angie, PJ, Brother Mike. It ain't everybody that needs to change. It's me. It ain't my wife. It ain't my mom. It ain't Michael. But it's me. I'm the one that needs to change. You know, and these people, they're jealous of everybody else. Everybody else. Verse number 13, when I said, and he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto them, and he taught them. So the Pharisees and the scribes approach Jesus, and they try to get into a intellectual argument with him, which is not good because he knows everything. So they try to get in the intellectual argument with him and they lose. And now the teachers of the day who have had all the attention on them, everybody likes them, everybody listens to them, they're their leaders, the whole group, it says all the multitude resorted unto Jesus, and he taught them. So they left him, followed Jesus, and now Jesus is teaching them, and they can't handle it. They're jealous of him. And I know in my life, I'm jealous of a lot of things. I ignore the fact that just like these people, they ignore the fact of who was teaching them and that they were getting taught the right thing. You know, sometimes, I don't know, how old am I, 34? Yeah, 34. In my 30, however many years I've been at this church with my dad and my mom, I've seen people leave the church. I've seen people leave the church, come back, leave the church, come back, leave the church again. It's amazing how that happens. But every time they leave, I get a chip on my shoulder about it. And then I get jealous of the other church that they got those members. Well, Ottawa Hall Baptist now has members. First Baptist has members. Calvary has members. I'm jealous of who's teaching them instead of realizing as long as somebody there is preaching the gospel, it don't matter where they go to church. They're getting fed the gospel. I shouldn't be jealous of what they're doing and what we're not doing is my point. And so these guys just couldn't handle it. They're always in the limelight. They can't take people taking their shine. And we got to be careful. We aren't like that. I know for myself, I'm one of the most jealous people ever. If Arlen's out of my sight for about 10 minutes, I go crazy. I'm like, where is she? What's she doing? Who's she with? You know, I can't handle it. I got to have her around all the time. I'm just jealous of her time, you know. And when we come to church, we can't be that way. We can't be that way. Well, but like I take Mr. Sydney, for instance, the last two Saturdays, he's filled potholes out there on that gravelly road. Just did it on his own, far as I know. I don't think anybody in here asked him to do it. He did it on his own. But sometimes you'll find people in church to say, who's he think? Who asked him to do it? He ain't special. You know, you got to be careful where your heart is. These people had a heart problem. These people had a heart problem. They did everything right on the outside, everything right day to day. They went to work. They worked 40 hours. They showed up on Wednesday night. They gave in the offering. They showed up for revival. But it don't matter what you do if your heart ain't right. Two Sundays ago, Brother Reese Key was here. And he was telling people, hey, does anybody want to, you know, say what they're thankful for? And there's people coming to the altar, blah, blah, blah. And I wanted so bad to say something, but I couldn't because I'm just like the biggest crybaby ever. I was back there in the seat, and I'm like, I hope Arlen's not looking at me. I'm crying. You know, I'm back there crying. I wanted to say something, but I just couldn't. And then the following Wednesday, we had a prayer meeting. There wasn't but maybe, I don't know, 6, 7 guys here. There's a couple younger boys here. And it's just one of them things where I just decided I gotta let go of some things. I'm jealous of people. I'm jealous of some of you don't know, but most of you do, but some of you don't. I have an ex-wife, and my daughter stays with her, and I'm so jealous of the time she gets to spend with her. But then I gotta realize, well, she's going to a good school, she lives in a safe neighborhood, she's getting taught, you know, right and wrong. You know, I just gotta let it go. I know there's other people in here that you're jealous of other people, maybe at work, maybe in this church, maybe in your own family. And you gotta let it go. These people couldn't let it go because they had a heart problem. Number three, they try to get others on their side. Basically, you know, misery loves company. Everybody's heard that, I'm sure. Verse number 18. So earlier in the passage, the scribes hear Jesus, and they start arguing with him. Jesus says, no, you're wrong. I proved you right. He comes through. He's the man. He does his thing. Later on in the passage, they said, well, we can't win an argument with him, so let's go get our buddies, the Pharisees, and let's bring them in, and now we'll double team him, and we'll win. That's in verse number 16 and 17, and then he wins the argument again. So they said, well, we got to take this a different way. And you'll find, if you'll stay in churches long enough, unhappy members, bitter members, mad members, whatever spin you want to put on it, this is the way they do it. They go to the pastor. Well, I don't like the way you do it. Or they go to the assistant pastor. Well, I don't like the way you teach Sunday school. Or I don't like the way you lead singing. Or I don't like the way Nick takes up offering. Or I don't like the way Leah does a 30-minute testimony as a sermon. You know, whatever. You know, they do things like that. And then when they can't get people on their side, then they find another complainer in the church. They try to do that. They try to find another complainer. When that doesn't work, they go to somebody else. And when that doesn't work, then they go to people's friends. In verse number 18, it says, and the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. So, and they come and say unto him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? So what happens is Jesus is eating in this house, and he's eating with publicans and sinners, and they can't stand it. You know, why are you eating with them? Basically, you should be eating with us. We're the smart people. We're the good Baptists. We show up to church. Why are you talking to us? You know, I mean, why aren't you talking to us? Why are you talking to the guy that just walked in the back who's not dressed well and doesn't look like he's been to church in 6 years? Well, I'll tell you why the pastor's talking to him or God's talking to him, because he needs it. You know, in this passage, it says, you know, I can't remember where I was at, but the people that got good health, they don't need the physician. They don't need the doctor. It's the people that are sick that need them. And sometimes, I know in my life, I don't realize sometimes I am the sick person and I need help. You know, we come to church. I've been coming to church seems like forever. I mean, I'm only 34, but I seem like I've been coming to church for 60 years. It's crazy. Been going to revival meetings every time, you know, me and my mom and the kids, me, my mom, my brother and sister, we'd go to church, you know, every time the doors were open, not just here, other places too. Then I go to PCC, like other people in here. If you've been to PCC, you know, there's a lot of church services there. I mean, I've been to so many church services, it's just crazy. And sometimes I get in the repetition of it. Well, it's Sunday night, it's Wednesday night, it's Sunday morning, I gotta go. If I don't go, my dad's gonna text me, where were you at? You know, why aren't you there? We missed you. That kind of thing. And so I get in the rhythm of going, and I don't realize that I need it. And it takes me about, you know, I do it almost every year. I go through 5 or 6 months where I'm just in the rhythm. I just show up to church. Nothing gets to me, nothing touches to me. I don't listen. And then somebody like Reese Key comes just one night and then, you know, basically turn into a big ball of mush, basically. And then the following Wednesday at prayer meeting was good. And it's just something that we got to realize sometimes we are the sick ones. It ain't the person sitting over there or the person sitting over there or the person that, you know, the person that comes to church only on Sunday morning, you know. Well, why do these people only come to church on Sunday morning? Who cares? At least they're coming, you know. Sick people need a doctor, okay? Sick people need a doctor. And we as Christians need church, whether you realize it or not. So the first point was they have a problem with everybody else, except themselves. They are jealous of others. They can't stand people getting shine besides them. They can't stand it. The third one, they try to get others on their side. But the main thing about this message is it's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. In verse number eight, right after they questioned him and said, why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? It was a heart problem. It's only mentioned once right there in the verses we read, but that's the whole basis of this whole story. Is their heart wasn't right. And it takes, I mean, I mainly didn't want to get up here because, you know, sometimes most Wednesdays I'm gone out of town working somewhere, you know, Charleston, Savannah. I don't feel like I should be up here telling you guys anything. You know, because I myself have a heart problem, just like everybody else does. We care too much about what's on the outside, not what's on the inside. And we can say that we don't, but it's a lie. Until we start realizing we as individuals need help, we as a group ain't going to do nothing. And with revival coming up, the only way we're going to grow, all right, we invite friends to church. Like PJ said, he said, you need to invite people as friend day. That's all well and good. But those friends, they know us because they see us every day. So my point is to you, why haven't they came already? Why haven't your friends come already? Is it because they just want to sit out of church, or is it because they see you every day? And that's a hard lesson to listen to, but it's the truth. Why does, you know, there's a young guy that works with me and Michael every now and then. When he'll come back to work, then he quits. He come back to work, then he quits. But, you know, why hasn't he came to church? It's because he don't see a difference in me. He don't see a difference in Michael. You know, why is it? Why don't your friends come? Is it because you're a Pharisee? Maybe it is. See, people often get the word Pharisee and hypocrite mixed together. I don't necessarily see Pharisees as hypocrites. I just see Pharisees as good old folk, live in South Georgia, show up for church, they're loyal to their pastor, they do the right thing, they give money in the offering plate, but their heart isn't in it. They're doing it from ritual. They're doing it from habit. They're not doing it because in their heart of hearts, it's the right thing to do, because it's what the Bible says. And until we get to that point, I don't think we're ever going to grow as a church. You know, I've seen the church from smaller than this when I was a little kid. And even though I thought there's a million people there, there wasn't but like 10. You know, I was like Reagan size and there was 10 people in the church. I thought there was 100. And then when I got older, we had church in the gym. I don't remember how many people we had. Tons. Little by little, people trickle off. They get mad and upset. He didn't say anything about what I did in the church. Well, he didn't say anything about my special song. Or he didn't let me teach that Sunday school class. Well, he didn't let me do this. Well, he didn't let me do that. So now you've turned down, you're not coming to church because a man told you no. What's that got to do with what the Bible says? You know, it's a heart problem. Until we fix it, we ain't gonna grow. So that's all I got, PJ.